If you want a little show and you don't know where to go, put on your headphones and hit the mark.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to Hit the Mark with Mark Levy. This is your host, Mark Levy. Of course, giant thank you to Paul Laudiero and PB Satmari. Both of them were great episodes that I really enjoyed recording, and I think you guys seem to enjoy listening to, which is great. I mean, that's the whole thing we do, this type of thing, you know, like to pass knowledge and fun along, and, you know, you guys seem to be listening, especially out there in England. Yeah, my brain's like scattered today, guys. I apologize. Yesterday was a 22-hour day for me.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh boy, that was a long day. It started at 5 a.m. Did I end until 3 a.m.? Wow. I don't know how I do this, guys. I'm 29 years old. My body's not falling apart fully yet, but it feels like it is sometimes. That's a different story altogether, so I apologize if I sound dead or less energized than normal. It happens. It's a podcast. It's a free podcast. You know, there's so many ways you can support the show, though. You know, keep us free. Keep us awesome. Easiest way, go to iTunes. Rate us. Review us. Today's give us 5 stars. If you want to win a free shirt, today's quote will be, gosh, I love listening to Hit the Mark, especially while sitting on my brand new couch. That'll be the nicest way to put that. You know what? If you put that full thing in, even that last bit, I will even send you a hat just because that last bit, it's just such a stupid thing right there, but I love it. It's cool. And of course, if you do that, take a photo of you with a thumbs up on the iTunes and email it to hchampod@gmail.com, and you will find yourself getting a free shirt and free hat. Of course, if you want to buy that type of stuff, go to Zazzle.com. We have a store. All the hats, shirts, mics, whatever you want, all the Hit the Mark merch, it's there. It's there, guys. People are buying it. It's there. That's not a lie. People really are buying it. There's people in Miami that wear it, for sure.
I believe it.
That are not just my family.
And it's a good look, too.
Yeah. Wow, I thought I should get my guest, who has still not been announced yet, which is okay, a free shirt, but I don't have them on me right now. I'm really loving this episode. It's 2 minutes in. 2 minutes in. I love it. Okay. And, of course, if you go to hitthemark.podomatic.com, you'll see all 189 numbered episodes and like the 13 unnumbered episodes on one side, and next to that you'll see a PayPal button there. Press that button and you can donate as much or as little as you want. It will help support the show and keep things rocking. Today's guest, Lauren Besser, will be talking to her very shortly, but before I get there, I have a quick film review. I am so excited about this one. I was excited about this film. I enjoyed it. I'm getting way ahead of myself. I saw Get Hard, which when I bought the ticket, it was really hard not to say Gethard or Gethard, because Chris Gethard, a friend of mine, a friend of the show. But that's a different story altogether. That was it was actually really weird because I actually had to use the first, like, the people there. I'm like trying to say Get Hard. I like this movie a lot. I love Will Ferrell. He's like a hero of mine. Kevin Hart, someone I really have a lot of respect for, and I think he's very, very funny. The movie itself is pretty funny. It's a little bit racist, a little homophobic, but I feel like this type of movie kind of has to be like that. If it's a movie all about fears, about going to prison and stuff like that, it is a little bit harsh on the homophobia, a little too harsh, I think, but it's a hard R film. Honestly, if you go into seeing this movie and don't expect that kind of thing, then don't see it. I hate saying that, as you guys are aware, I really a fighter for people's rights and stuff like that, but this movie is not about, like, good people. This is a movie about people that are not good, that are trying to prepare themselves for a life in prison. I enjoyed it, mostly. It definitely hits the mark. But, I mean, it's not an amazing film, but it's nice to see Kevin Hart and Will Ferrell do comedy together because they're both very funny people that I have a lot of respect for. All right, so today's guest, oh my God, I feel like my first time I ever talked to her, it was like about the podcast. But that's a different story altogether. She is on the UCB Lloyd Team Buchanan. She is on Huns, which will be in a show this week that we'll talk about later. She's on Open Relationship. She is the co-host of The Real Housewives of Bohemia. She's the one, The only, the Lauren Besser.
Oh my God, amazing, amazing introduction, Mark.
Well, I do the best I can. So now you have to live up to it.
Yeah,
okay?
I guess so. Yeah.
And also, should I guys know, yes, you listen to Paul Ladiero's episode. He did guess correctly. Lauren Besser was the name he said that it had to be redacted.
Three's a charm. Yeah. Three's a charm. Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. That Paul, what a guy.
Great guy. He had a great tweet today for Tweet Madness.
Oh, I believe that. He's a smarty pants.
Him and John Bershaw up against each other, which is a shame because like those are two people I have a lot of love for.
Sure.
I'm not going to say who I voted
for. Yeah, no, it's okay.
But they both were. Tweet Madness is amazing. I'm still kind of sad that I lost the way I did.
Oh, yeah.
I lost the masked tweeter.
Okay.
Someone who I'm pretty sure is possibly Dan Glaser.
Yeah, sure.
It honestly doesn't matter. I got in and I was happy with my tweet.
Yeah.
Lowest votes in round one, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, congratulations on that. That's pretty huge.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, in March, I know that Tweet Madness is about March Madness, or at least mapped over it. And I'm like a massive basketball fan.
Same here.
And I'm also a graduate of the greatest university in the country, the University of Wisconsin. Madison, go Badgers in the Final Four.
Yeah.
I'm
really excited for them. Like, this has been a weird March Madness.
It's been very weird.
Well, I mean, I think it's great when it's really a weird one when 90% of America's brackets get busted in day two.
Yeah, right.
I forgot to make a bracket this year, and my bracket would have been busted.
Oh, I did. I've actually never made a bracket.
I did it last few years. Yeah. I love it. It was like,
it's got to make it, because I'll watch the games, and even if I'm not invested in them, because I used to play basketball, and my family is a big basketball family, but I know that if I were to make a bracket, it would just make things so much more fun. Next season, I've got to do it.
I actually didn't do it until I moved to New York, and last year my bracket did pretty well until, like, the Elite Eight. Okay. I had the Gators in the finals, so.
Well, that's pretty good.
It's hard for me as an alumni of the greatest school in the world.
In Florida?
Sorry, someone like your school in Florida? Wow.
I already called out UW as the greatest school
in America.
Did I only say America? Well, I meant the universe. Oh, snap.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see if we get some of those Badgers listening. Gators to listen to this, so.
Yeah, okay.
And Gators are more deadly than Badgers.
Yeah.
Badgers just can scratch.
But they're scrappy as fuck, man.
Yeah, but Gators can swim fast.
Is this explicit?
Chris, as much as you want.
Great.
We've been explicit for over a year now because I have the back-to-back episodes of Teacher Yell Reno and Dan Black. iTunes told us we have to be explicit.
Oh, you know, with my podcast, we went explicit day one because of my mouth. I just can't keep it under fucking control.
I should make this like the most PG episode ever. Instead of like just putting this up immediately, just listen to the whole episode and just take out every curse.
Yeah, exactly. Just beep me out every time. That would be very funny because it will fucking happen all the fucking time. No, now I'm gonna try to work them
out. I honestly don't care.
No, it's great.
I really don't care. If it earns us the explicit rating, I'm fine with it.
I know, yeah, I really, yeah, I saw that you have, like, the parental, we just mark ours as explicit, but we don't get the parental advisory.
Oh, yeah, iTunes
regardless. And I want it. Now we don't get enough attention, that's why.
Literally, there was, like, I post an episode, and then, like, it took, like, a week for it to go up, and I'm like, yo, iTunes, what's up? And like, oh, your content was flagged. And I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Wow.
So now every episode is
explicit.
Even, like, the ones where there's no cursing.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe a shit.
Well, right. Well, you know what? Improv is very explicit content no matter what. No matter if you're cursing or not.
Because it's all fucking. If you're not cursing, you're fucking.
Definitely. That's how it is. That's real grounded scene work.
It's really honest sex. It's all it is.
Yeah, that's totally what improv
is. Oh, God, I just got the vision. Because I know my parents don't listen to this. And they're cool, but like, I just like, got the vision like, oh, yeah.
Hey, Mom and Dad, when I say that I'm going to do improv, really what I mean
is I'm going to
do sex! That's great.
The hot chicks room really is a hot chicks room.
It turns out it's actually just like this hotbed of sexual keg in the expression. Corner. Yeah, yeah. Keg in the corner, sexual expression everywhere else. Yeah. Speaking of the Beast, I think this is sort of serendipitous. Today is the 2-year anniversary of my 101 class show.
I saw that this morning.
And I feel like we've known each other since, like, I first started going to Nerds, and I just feel like I've listened to the podcast, was so pumped about it, and like it's just a very serendipitous thing for me to be sitting on this brand new couch of yours.
Yeah, this is
today.
This is the second day. This is the first 24 hours couch has been in the apartment.
Yeah, so my ass is warming it up for you, and I'm happy.
Well, I know Scott Beowulf had a meeting here last night. So
you said some hot pieces of ass on this for a minute.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. That's makes.
I know
a lot
I saw
sense.
Some PB Satmari was on.
Yes, I know she was.
When I left.
She.
That just makes it seem like you live across my courtyard or something like that.
No, because I knew she was on the show. I didn't know she was here last night. I knew she was on the show, two episodes ago?
Yeah.
So, because she and I are working with Katie Sicke and Tessa Claire Hirsch on awesome series project. Yeah, it's going to be really fun. Women, Inc., it's going to be great.
Can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I can't wait to shoot it. Yeah,
well, how have you been today? We haven't got to that part today.
How have I been today?
Yeah, yeah.
Today's been good. I stayed up real late watching The Jinx last night.
Yeah.
And I did that after I watched Going Clear. And so I watched The Jinx as like an uplifting moment
which is insane,
guys.
Jinx is not that uplifting.
Insane,
guys. Because I'm going to watch Going Clear today.
You should. You absolutely must. It's fascinating. It's really fascinating. It was definitely a look inside of the very mysterious place and ideology. And yeah, I know it helps a lot of people, but it was definitely a worthwhile thing to watch, but I had to watch The Jinx afterwards to make my heart sore. So I was up until like 5 watching crazy HBO television, and then when my alarm woke me up this morning, my eyes were so, I don't even know if like, I was so tired, I don't think my eyelids shut all the way when I was sleeping.
Did you walk here from your apartment too? Or?
No, I took a car. I couldn't. I had to call a cab and get my coffee and be a real diva about it, but I could have walked. It's only like 20 minute walk, really.
Oh, okay.
And I'm a fast walk because I'm in Crown Heights, so it's like kind of close.
Yeah.
I go to acupuncture in Gowanus and I walk there sometimes, but that's like...
And that's further than here.
Yeah, that's like a 45 minutes to an hour walk.
Right.
That's if I'm really booking it though, Mark.
Oh yeah, you're straight up running.
Right, straight up sweating when I show up to the acupuncture. It's like, sorry, you need to touch my body now because it's wet.
I love how you just pointed me right before my laughter. That was weird.
It was like, cue the laughter. Oh man, so when... We're talking Facebook thread about laughs.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever posted in my entire life, but continue. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
First of all, well, your laugh got a lot of cred.
Well, because I posted it.
I just want you to know, like, this is so self-obsessed. I'm just going to say right now, it's very self-obsessed of me. But I was, like, you know, I'm pretty new in the community, but I have this, like, big laugh that is also my dad's, and I'm, like, really proud of it.
Right, your dad met Besser.
Yeah, you totally. Yeah, exactly. My dad met Besser, exactly. And, you know, and I was always really proud of it, but I was always told that it was, like, too loud, and, like, don't be quiet.
Ah,
and
fuck that.
You're too this, you're too that, which, of course, made me only laugh much louder. And so I was really checking that post to see if I got a shout out, and I didn't, which I'm okay. I know that next time you post it in a couple years from now, I'll get a lot of shout outs.
So weird fact about that. Okay, so if you're friends with me on Facebook, I posted Saturday morning about like, because I've always been obsessed with a good laugh.
Oh, me too. Like, how could you not be, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, we both have good laughs.
So many of the people that were getting called out really do have the best.
I mean, Blood Band's amazing.
Oh, amazing.
Like, Radio Callahan, yeah.
Apruzzi's, you know who's great, who I don't know, who has an incredible, is James Coker.
I don't really
know, but... That is a deafening laugh. He has a deafening, huge, massive laugh. He's got a great one, yeah.
All right, well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
But, like, so, like, I posted that and, like, got, like, two people be like, oh, I like this person. And then, like, it just went away. And then yesterday, I'm, like, at work, and, like, it blows up.
It blew up.
Like, I was at my break, I'm like, there's, like, 40 posts instead of, like, 3.
Yeah. No, it blew up.
It literally blew up.
I know. I almost wrote on it, like, is it weird if I'm waiting for somebody to say me? And then I was like, yeah, that is weird, Lauren. Don't write that. That's so fucking weird.
Like, of course, Matt Ratlow, like, wasn't the first to, like, to post on it. And he's like, Mark, your flex is you just drink a pill so you like, they like, go no, yeah. But...
He's like, no, but I mean, I will take a shout out on occasion if you want to give me one.
Why basically, not? I mean, like, no, but, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
But like, no, like, because I feel like there's not enough, like, posts about like, who had, like, what's a good laugh, like, yes. Stuff like that.
Do you know, it's interesting. I was at a TJ and Dave show at the Barrow Street Theater a couple years ago, or, yeah, maybe a year and a half ago, and it was for a lot, except maybe they had given tickets to, like, Pitt teachers and UCB teachers, right. And I think it was this moment, I think, where they were trying to kind of get more community members in New York, like, that are kind of, like, driving the New York scene community in and seeing what they're doing and that kind of stuff. And I saw, I think, like, four or five of my teachers there, and I heard one of my teachers, Ashley Ward, who has an incredible laugh.
Yeah,
Ashley
Ward
is, you know, her laugh. And so, like, I didn't see her. I think I saw, like, Brandon Gardner and Chelsea Clark was there. I think maybe...
Both those are great laughs.
Which are amazing laughs. And then I was like, oh, check the list off for another teacher who I have not looked at, but I've not laid eyes on Ashley Ward, but I can hear her.
Yeah.
It was such a, like, heartwarming moment. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. It was really, and yeah, shout out to Chicago, shout out to TJ and Dave.
Yeah. Yeah. I just listened to Alex Karpovsky on WTF the other day.
Okay.
And he is the one that directed the TJ and Dave documentary, which I didn't know that until yesterday. So.
Maybe I knew that, maybe I didn't. Yeah, the documentary is great.
Oh, it's amazing. I saw the documentary, like, right when I got to TJ and Dave. And TJ is also in Get Hard.
Yeah, okay, that's incredible. Also, Dave is the parent to four alumni of my high school. So I took my little sister, who's 10 years younger than me, to see a TJ, because I was going there every time they came into New York, and just at least once or twice to see them. And so Rachel and I went, and Rachel was like, that's Luca's dad. And I was like, no, it's not. He's a famous improviser, Rachel. Like, there's no, he is not, you don't know him. She's like, I've been to his house, like, that's Luca's dad. I was like, no, it's not. And then, of course, like, she proved it to me.
Like, yelling during the show.
I think I was like, pay attention. This is magic. And, yeah, and it turns out, like, he does have two sons, and they are both Latin Romans in the city of Chicago, like me. I'm a Roman. So, yeah.
You're a Roman?
Yeah, that's our mascot.
Oh,
Latin
okay.
School of Chicago Romans.
So I was like,
yeah,
what?
Like, what?
Like, I had
wait
no idea you were a Roman with the last name Besser. I mean, you can't get less Roman than...
Yeah, exactly. No, that's exactly right. No, I'm a Roman in spirit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm a Panther.
Oh, you're a Panther?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
And a gator.
And a gator. Yeah, I'm a Roman
and
a badger.
A seahorse.
A seahorse. what the fuck?
Florida School of the Arts does not officially have a mascot.
So they have a sea. That is the greatest.
It's what we call, like, because on the business cards, like, it's part of the logo. There's a seahorse.
Okay, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard. I mean, because seahorses are one of the few animals where the men give birth and the women do not, or the females
do
not.
I give birth.
You do. I can imagine that you would give birth. But let me tell you guys, as a radical feminist, I'm a big fan of a seahorse.
Yeah. What the hell was that?
There's a little, it sounds like there's a little either leaf blowing or
construction.
Which is...
Maybe a little bit of both, but honestly, then I can hear it, so...
Yeah, dope, because on my package, you absolutely would hear it. You hear, like, all the...
It's weird, like, even though my equipment is, like, very, very simple, it picks up
works
literally
out.
As... It picks up voices first and foremost.
That's smart.
Yeah, like, I remember I was recording at DCM, like, 2 years ago in the party space with Barton, who was like, not, like, talking loudly, but I had the microphone, like, right near his mouth, and you just hear, like, the music, like lightly, and you hear me, like, yeah, man, I'm going to throw myself out this window.
God. That's impressive. Yeah, I have a microphone, and it picks up everything. I mean, it definitely is nice for the ambiance of, you know, of Brooklyn, and just getting a good sense of, like,
great.
What's happening in our space, like, horns honking and kids talking shit and all that
kind
of stuff. Yeah, it's great.
I actually, there's a school in my apartment, but I never actually, you can actually hear it if you're, like, sitting, like, right by the air conditioner right there.
Wow.
Yeah, but, like, by my window, like, you hear everything, like, because I have the street,
window,
so,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, you know, I hear Union Market, like, opening up.
Right,
now I don't wake up by anymore.
I believe
when
that,
I first
yeah.
moved in, it was like every day 6 a.m. I used to hear like trucks.
Yeah, trucks. You know, I my former roommate and best friend, her brother-in-law is one of the owners and like creators of Union Market.
Oh, so he, like, created the...
This was the first one.
I know. Well, yeah. It makes sense, because it's all on the street with Union.
Union, exactly. Yeah, this is number one, and, I mean, I don't think there was any... I mean, of course they wanted to expand, but, like, man, it's really gone... It's gone in huge spaces now. It's great.
Yeah,
really,
like, Going by the Beast is giant.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
So, let's, like, dive in, like...
Let's talk about it.
Let's, like... Fully learn about Lauren Bessel.
Okay. Oh my God. Should Tell I put my coffee down?
What did you say?
Should I put my coffee down?
It's up to you. Yeah. Just don't spill it.
I'm gonna keep it. Yeah. Let's put this on because it's cool enough to drink, but right, I don't want to do that.
Okay, all right. So
let's talk about it.
What was, like, your big comedy or acting inspirations growing up?
Oh my God.
So serious. I'm sorry.
Oh my God. Well, you know, it's interesting. I was an athlete. I was not an actor or comedian, like, until a couple years ago, and. So, I mean, I always loved performing. I always put on shows. I always put on, you know, dance shows and plays, and we'd create that kind of, me and my cousins would do that kind of stuff. You know, I was into all of it, like all the movie stars, all the rock stars. Madonna was like my everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't, and of course I enjoyed comedy, of course. And, you know, I think probably like Bette Midler and Lily Tomlin, like the kind of old movies that kind of stuff was really, I loved, but yeah, I mean, it all sort of really started for me. I was an athlete. I played basketball.
What was your
position
in basketball?
I played like a three, like a small forward kind of,
cause you're tall.
I was pretty tall. And then, but my handling skills were really bad. I'm really good at boxing out and rebounding.
Which is exactly what it's all for.
Yeah, exactly. So I just, like, messed people up in the paint, which was good. And then after that, I started working in, like, feminist activism. And so, like, I just... And in politics...
What position were you there?
Yeah, no, I actually did.
That's a horrible joke.
No, it's like, that's a funny joke, but I did... I was the youngest ever elected state president of the Wisconsin chapter. Well, in National Now History, the National Organization for Women... I ran the state chapter in Wisconsin for 3 years.
Nice.
When I was a student, but it was like the state organization.
So, like, how long were you in Wisconsin for?
Just for
college? Or
I was there for college, but I transferred there and then I took my time. So I was there for like 3.5, 4 years. So, and I managed a city council race, which we won, which was really exciting. Yeah. So I had this like vastly, I mean, I thought I would be living in DC, like working as a pro-choice lobbyist at this point in my life. Yeah. Instead of like making pretend on the stage, which is such a joy.
Making sex on stage.
Exactly. Making sex. This is all we do, you guys. All we do. Yeah. So, I went from like being an athlete to being like an activist to, then after that, and I kind of got really disillusioned that I couldn't like change the whole world single-handedly. Started like...
That sucks.
Yeah, it does suck.
That really like, that's like the one thing I really can't stand about like politics.
Yeah.
Like, I love, like, I like the idea of like getting things changed, like done like, better, but like, if you can't get it done, then what's the point?
Yes, and if you're miserable yourself doing it, the change is, like, I really believe that the change does happen at, like, the heart level in order to continue the change on, like, a massive scale. And I was, you know, 23 and, like, a miserable person in a power suit and stilettos. And, like, it was not a good look. And so I started, like, managing a camping store. I would, like, went to India and climbed mountains and, you know.
Amazing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was really, like, I was very, you know, after college, I, like, definitely went, I camped all over the world, and needed to find myself, like a, you know, privileged white girl should do, and then I...
Read Eat, Pray, Love too many times.
Yeah, exactly, like, it wasn't even out yet, but, like, lived that Eat, Pray, Love life for a minute, and then I moved back to Chicago, and, like, realized I needed to get my life together, and so I started working in PR, took... a couple classes at I.O., never performed in Chicago.
Okay.
But grew up right around the corner from Second
City. Like, what is it like growing up in Chicago? Like...
The best. The fucking greatest shit of all time.
Like, I've always wanted to visit Chicago. Like, I need to take a vacation.
It's the best.
I want to take a vacation. I'm thinking about taking a vacation in Chicago, but, like, the only reason I wouldn't is just because it's basically the same thing as I would be doing in New York.
Mm. But it's a little different. First of all, I mean, Chicago, it has, like, a beach downtown, so, like, you can walk along the lakefront as if it were, and the lake is so big that it hits the horizon, so, like, it feels like it's the ocean, so it's, instead of, like, having to go to Coney Island to take a walk with, like, a massive body of water next to you, you can just, like, literally walk from Second City to the beach, which is so exciting and awesome. And yeah, summertime, springtime, falltime are the joints to go visit Chicago because it's beautiful and everybody's out having so much fun. I mean, the winters, I have some friends who have visited Chicago for the first time in the winter and they're champions and heroes among humanity, but it's a different life. It's a different situation. But yeah, I mean, Chicago, Al Capone's old jazz like speakeasy, the Green Mill is still there and it's been refurbished to be exactly how it used to be. There's tunnels underneath it. You can't get into, there's trap doors. You can still see like, just some, you know, Chicago, there's obviously Chicago deep dish pizza, like, which I can't do the like, New York is better, Chicago is better. They are completely different beasts. They're not the same thing.
Right, New York's a very simple slice.
Yeah, it's a slice. It's in Chicago, it's a pie. Like, it's a different, it's a totally different world. You go to a Cubs game, just get obliterated and get a suntan. Like, that's what I do in a Cubs game. I'm not paying attention to the game at all. Yeah, Chicago is, it's a really, I grew up right in the city, so it was, and I feel like it provides sort of a city upbringing that New York, of course, New York has a different type of upbringing.
Right, but, right.
You know, it's just not as hectic and busy and things are a little bit more contained, I guess. So I felt, you know, I definitely like jumped rope on my sidewalk. Like I had lemonade stands on State Street, you know, where the Chicago Theater is. But like, it still felt normal to me, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And like, what made you want to go to Wisconsin for college?
Because,
like, that's a college town, I know that.
Yeah, totally. So I went to school for 2 years in Colorado, and, because I, at the University of Northern Colorado, I didn't get in anywhere else, because I had real bad grades in high school.
Okay, well, same here.
Yeah, and it was, so I, you know, started a feminist club at the school, and, like, took all the women's studies classes, and made some really wonderful friends, and then, it was just time to kind of move, and I had friends at UW. And my boyfriend at the time went to University of Michigan, so I felt like, fun, like, we'll be, like, equal distance to Chicago, we can meet in
first. And school rivals, right?
And school rivals, yeah. And of course, like, Ann Arbor is a fucking whore. She, like, we hate the
girl, not the city.
Not the city! No, I mean the city. But of course, like, you know, he and I ended up breaking up, like, 1 month after I got to Madison.
Oh, of course.
Of course. And we're still great friends to this day, but, like, you know, and, but I had great friends in Madison and it was such an activist space and still is today. And I was in such an activist mindset that it really was the right fit. And I studied creative writing there and political science and women's studies and ran the state chat, you know, worked for Tammy Baldwin when she was still a representative and, you know, before she ran for Senate. And I just, yeah, it was a really wonderful, wonderful college experience. Never went to a football game, but
that's a shame.
It spoke in front of like 1,000 people at like Roe versus Wade anniversary. But, I know.
Oh, that's cool though.
Yeah, like those were my jams, you know.
No, like, I mean, I only went to one Gator game while I was there, but like,
it was a blast.
It was a blast and also a blowout because like the way our season always was and still is like the first two games of the season are like against like Hawaii or something like that. Doesn't like, you're, it's not known for a like Iowa or something like that. Like, so, like a school that's not known for a football team. It's always like 88-2. It's like, how they get that safety, we don't know, but we got 88 points.
That's funny.
But like, my only game I ever went there was like us versus, like, I want to say it was like University of like North Iowa or something.
Sure.
And it was like 65-7 or something like that. Like,
yeah, it sounds like a blast.
Yeah, and like, but I went like always. Like, there's a big football culture there, like, which I know there is a pretty big one.
Massive,
yeah.
You know, and the student body is like 40,000 people. So,
yeah, same thing at UW.
Yeah, right. So it's like, you know, it's a massive thing, and you know, I would wear my sweatshirt sometimes, but I just was I was such a little busy bee with activism that I could, I just, you know, on a Sunday I was like, what? I don't have to go to meetings, and I'm gonna sleep in and watch The Simpsons.
I'm not getting dressed to go get this is like what I did Saturday and game day. Like, if the game started at noon, I'd wake up 11:30 and start drinking and have friends come over, watch the game, order a couple of pizzas.
I'd rather do, like, I think that was my deal, is I would rather just like chill at home if I was able to than like make the trek to the field, which I know, you know, It's ridiculous. I feel like it's absolute. I went to a couple basketball games, but I cannot believe I never went to a football game. I bought season tickets once, and then I lost them.
Oh, no.
Isn't that, I mean, typical, but that's what happened. Couldn't even sell them. I think when I was moving out of college, I found them, like, behind a drawer in my filing cabinet or something.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, oh, there you guys are 2 years later. But, yeah.
Oh, I've had that feeling before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've lost things before that are, like, very important. Like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah. But, yep. You know, there happens. You go. Yeah. Happens. So, yeah. So, that was college. Right.
So, and so, then yeah, you said you moved back to...
I moved back to Chicago. I worked in the camping store for a while. And then I started
What's like working in a camping store?
The best. Like, when you're on break, you can just zip up a tent and slip into a sleeping bag and take a nap.
I don't believe that.
Oh, it happened all the time.
Like, was it a busy camping store, like an REI, or was it...
It was a locally owned camping store, and it was very busy, and
But you were able to sleep?
I mean, like, not... Mike Fowler, if you're listening to this, that never happened. Yeah, no, it did. It totally did, but only on very rare occasions. But you know, yeah, if it was like pouring rain and nobody was coming in, like we would set up obstacle courses and get in sleeping bags and do like potato sack races and like ride bikes around. Like it was so fun. And you know, a lot of people would come in and maybe they'd signed up for like an Outward Bound course or something,
yeah.
and they'd never been outside really and lived a life outside even for a week. And to work through that experience with folks and like prepare them for that and just kind of like, yo, like, you know what, you wouldn't think of it, but maybe you're going to need a sock liner because that's really going to help with your blisters. Like, let's do, you know, and having that experience to know, like, actually the thing that I mean, there was a couple things that I would always, always, always recommend. And one of them was like a camp towel. Like, you never think you're going to need like a quick dry towel, but like, man, those things come in handy sometimes. Like, you know, like, you're just like,
I still use
mine. I do. I actually still wrap my hair up in it when I get out of the shower. But yeah, there was like some little key thing. It was just, and you get to spend some like quality time with someone who's excited, but a little nervous trying to figure out what this process was going to be like. Never as a child. I started as like a teenager. I wanted to like be a camper. I thought it was a cool thing to like know how to be in the mountains as a city kid. I really wanted it. So yeah, it really.
And as a city suburb kid, I never really wanted to. Like, I did it a lot as a kid, but I was like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe if I did it as a kid, I wouldn't have liked it. But since it was kind of this like mystical, magical thing to me, I was like, yeah, I'm going to learn about that. I'm going to figure out how to live outside.
And I'm sure you did a lot like in Colorado.
Oh, I did a ton in Colorado. Yeah, so
some in Wisconsin.
A lot in Wisconsin. Yeah, I mean, I've done like snow camping and winter camping on occasion. I've done a lot. All that kind of stuff. Yeah, a lot in my kind of like late teens, early 20s, and still I try to get at least up to like the Adirondacks or something like, at least once a year or something.
That's cool.
Like that. Yeah.
You know, like, just leave everything behind, but
yeah,
like a butterfly knife.
Yeah. That's sort of how it is. Not at all. No. Now I'm like, now I mostly do car camping. I've got, like, a lot of red wine with me. Like, I'm like, I don't really do a lot of...
Oh, you have a car.
Yeah, I do have a car. Yeah, I've got a car. And so, yeah, there's a lot of... I don't do a lot of backcountry stuff anymore, but I would.
You're like, sometimes I like to just, you know, drive my car... Over a bridge. Go to, like, just
park
wake
it.
Up on, like, park it on East Broadway, get drunk
in
the back seat, and then wake
fall
up.
Fall asleep, come home. Yeah, exactly. That's camping for me these days. Yeah, that's
so as I drive my way all the way to UCB East, get drunk, pass out, wake up.
Go back to Brooklyn. You would just hit the mark. Whoa.
Oh,
nailed
she said the title of the show
it.
And a joke I've never heard in my entire life.
Listen, yeah, I'll keep working it in.
It's fine. I really don't care. Like, it's just so weird. Like, how people, like,
always are like, you're hitting the mark.
Or you're like, hey, I hope your birthday hits the mark. And
Yeah. Well, listen, you brought it
to
yourself.
If I hated it, I wouldn't name my show Hit the Mark.
Yeah, you brought it to yourself.
I mean, it'd be great to be like, fucking Mark.
Yeah. Well, that would be like totally on game with the whole fact that improv is only sex.
Yeah.
But yeah. Ooh.
It happens.
Yeah, it happens.
So what made you want to move to New York?
I think always as a kid, like, I knew that the only bigger city was New York than Chicago, because like LA, which I love.
But I mean, like, obviously, so you wanted to go to DC at one point too.
Oh yeah. Well, that was when I was in politics. And it became very apparent to me at like 23, 24 that I was not going to be working in politics.
Okay.
So that took DC right out of the mix.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I... New York was just, I just wanted to, I loved the like allure, like, you know, the typical kind of like New York romance. And I was going to come right after college, and some family stuff happened that made that not possible. And so I was back in Chicago after college for a while. And then from like 2004 to 2009, and then I moved here in 2009. And
when in 2009? I moved in 2009 too.
October, I arrived October 17th.
I was June 1st.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Hey, okay. Yeah, so, like, and then I didn't start doing improv stuff for, like, 3 years after that.
Did you want to do improv, or, like,
no.
What brought you, like...
I just wanted to live in New York, and I was working freelance already. I do, like, marketing, copywriting, and so I was working freelance already, and I was sort of like, you know what, I've got to get out of Chicago. It's been, this is where I've been for my whole life. I want to do something. I've always wanted to go to New York. Let's just go. So, my best friend is a born and bred New Yorker, and she and I had always had dreams about living together. So it was like, girl, let's do it. My lease is up in the fall. Like, should we do this year? And it was like, yes, let's do it. And so I moved. I continued working from here, at home. But eventually, you know, 3 years in was just like, wow, I am at a desk alone in Brooklyn every single day, all day long. And this is misery. And, you know, it's not what I moved to New York for. I wanted to, like, live in, like, in the space of New York's energy, and, like, I just didn't feel that, and so I figured that I needed to do three things. One, get out of my house more. Two, meet new people. And three, create in a group setting, not just by myself. I wanted to...
Which is so weird, because, like, I've always thought of you as an actress.
Yeah, no, my God,
because you have such an actor energy. I mean, in the best way too. Like,
I'm thinking
as an actor, like, yeah, like I feel like I can like sniff out. No.
Maybe, I mean, honestly, like it is what I wanted to do since I was a little kid, but the opportunity was just sort of like never presented to me. I was like, I do these other things. It's like, yeah, I'm super dramatic and I tell a funny story and I'm flail all around with big arm movements, but it wasn't, yeah, I just felt like it was my personality and not really, like, a usable source of something. And, but yeah, so I actually signed up first for classes at the Pitt because I was, like, I was a little intimidated of UCB. And I remember, like, on our break at our first class at the Pitt, I got my phone out and signed up for a class at UCB. Like, I was like, I'm done. This is it. I remember this because I did classes at IO and I loved it.
Yeah.
But I was so entrenched in kind of like PR and my life. Like, I didn't join a practice group. I never did an indie show. I never was on an indie team. I never even performed at IO because you don't perform until you're done with the whole program there. So I just quit my class when performance came around because I was so terrified of performing.
And
at IO that I quit and never showed up again and literally never spoke to anyone at IO ever again.
Oh my God.
I was so petrified of it. And yeah, so I remembered that once I did this one class at the Pitt and Jamie Cummings was my first teacher. And I was like, I love this. This is so fun. I'm going to take classes at UCB. This is hitting the mark. I was going to say it naturally that time,
but
it's like for all these three things, creating with people, meeting new people and getting into Manhattan and not just at my desk in Brooklyn. And man, it just like, it made so much sense. And that, yeah. And so that was about, 2 years ago right now, basically.
Cool.
So yeah, it's been a really wild ride since then, but it's been
That's so exciting.
such a gift. I'm not, it still has not washed over me. It's been so much fun.
Yeah.
It's really been fun.
So, who's your 101 teacher at UCB?
Chelsea Clark.
Oh.
Killing constantly.
I'm in a class there again right now. This is my second official class with her.
She is a goddess.
And she like subbed like four of classes I've had like before I even had, like my 101 she subbed one of the days.
She's
201 she subbed one of the days.
Stop. She's just, she's just the best. I just am so grateful to her to like kind of getting me started on this process.
Yeah.
Like she just,
and she's like really energy wise, like same as you kind of.
Oh, that is such an insane compliment. Thank you so much.
You're
welcome. That means so much to me. I adore her and am so inspired by her. And I think, Yeah, it just like the environment that she creates, especially in her 101 classes, at least, you know, that's my experience, was just so, like, open and loving and, you know, just, like, fun and free to just try shit out and, like, who knows what the fuck is going to happen.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You don't have to be afraid at all. And what a liberation. I mean, that's just, that was really
Yeah,
cool.
she's really good at that. Yeah.
Yeah, she is. And then I went into 201 with Brandon Gardner, which is just, like, another complete...
I never had to dance study. I mean, the guy's a gift.
Absolute genius. And, you know, and again, like, learning game, but in a, which is scary. And
I really wish I took him for 201. I had a bad 201 experience.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah.
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 But it happens.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Yeah. It was such a, it also felt like such a kind of like safe space to kind of like try out these like mental acrobatics of game.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was. He's great, and then I had Doug Moe for 301. Which
he was my 301 too.
Stop! Oh God, yeah. What? And also, just like so great.
Literally the nicest person in the
community. On the planet. He's just the best. And then I went into Brandon Scott Jones for 401. So I just
who's
feel like,
a horrible human being.
Yeah, he's just the worst. Brandon BSJ, nobody compares to you in the greatest.
I feel like you're eulogizing.
I am. No.
You're like BSJ. So if God forbid he dies the next 2 hours,
no.
This will be really awkward.
No way. Yeah, this, I just feel like I had like a real cool my UCB 4, Chelsea, Brandon, Doug, Brandon. I feel like that's just like,
that's
a pretty solid, strong look. I was really, and I didn't really even know, I was just not, you know, signing up, and I feel like I got very lucky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I did not know. I just blindly signed up for my first three. And then, like, I realized, like, I fell in love with Shannon O'Neill as an improviser really early. And she was doing 401. And I took that. I loved it. I didn't pass. Well, I didn't get put into advanced, but, like...
Yeah.
And then I took it with Kevin Hines, and then took it again with Kevin Hines.
But still, amazing tag team for 401.
Yeah.
They're
so tough and so good. At
yes.
Same time. Yeah.
I've never had Kevin's coached Buchanan a couple times. He's given us notes before. And Shannon and I had like a makeup class, I think for 401, maybe 301, and had her, and just had such a great time, even in those like 3 hours, which is great.
She's brilliant. She's,
she is just, I just love watching her. I love learning from her. She's great.
If it wasn't for her, I would not have any idea what my improv voice was.
Because
I was dealing a lot during the first three levels.
Sure.
And like she basically made me find my voice during one breakthrough session.
Isn't that interesting how that can happen? Where
yeah.
it's sort of like... and I guess the work leading up to that breakthrough is the reason why the breakthrough is possible. But... the fact that it changed, I'm like getting goosebumps, but the fact that they're kind of like falling down, they're leaving now, but like, it's true, like there are these moments in improv where it's like, maybe you're struggling, there's a struggle, and then all of a sudden it's just like, bam, like, oh, whoa, like this, something just clicked, or something just changed, something just shifted, and I feel like that continues to happen.
Totally.
Right? Like it's...
If it stops, then stop doing it,
right,
or find a way to fix it.
Exactly.
If you want to continue doing it.
Right. Absolutely. That's absolutely. It just, yeah. Man. Oh, I love improv, right?
Yeah. So let's talk about some Buchanan.
Yeah, some Buchanan stuff. Oh, my
All right,
God. Let's
so,
do it. Who is my favorite teammate?
Yeah. So who's the one that you hate?
Yeah, who's the one that I hate the most? Probably Paul.
Really?
No.
Because I would guess Katie Seeking or something like that.
No,
maybe Lindsay.
Yeah, no. Oh
Lindsay,
my God.
God, Lindsay.
Ugh, that gift. They're all, you know.
Julia.
No.
Who I actually had no idea who she was until the Pelicans class.
Oh, right. Okay. Sure.
I really had, because I never had a chance to see Buchanan before then.
Okay.
And actually, the time I saw Buchanan, she wasn't there that day.
Okay.
And then I'm like, because she looks so much like Andy Berry. I was like, oh,
do you know,
Andy's
they, yeah, she, when she first, like, when we all first got on the team, people were like going up to her thinking she was Annie. It was wild.
Which makes weird,
crazy.
Slight sense, because I think Andy was kind of like 6 months before, right?
I know, in that same
okay.
I think, which was wild.
Right,
yeah.
That's the greatest thing you get. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, in that same moment. And then we lost Annie to New Orleans. And hopefully she's, I don't know if she's coming back. I hope she does someday.
I didn't get a chance to see her when she was in town last. It was making me excited. I love Annie.
Yeah, like, I didn't either. Oh, best. I love a hug, and like a hug and a tackle from that Annie Berry. She's the best.
She tackles you?
Maybe. I'm hoping that one day she
I'm will. Just getting some nice visions in my mind right now.
No, shut up. Ew. No. Yeah, she's like, but Annie coached open relationship for a couple months when we first kind of started, and man, it was, she just brought so much fun and joy to the process. It was great. She's great. So Buchanan. Yeah, I actually don't hate anyone on the team. I actually feel like it's because it's true, and we love. It's like, wow, it's so wild that you are put on these teams and you don't know anybody, and you don't. Julia and I had actually been in a Christian Capozzoli workshop, a Herald workshop, before auditions together, so we knew each other from that. But
well, you didn't know anyone. That's amazing.
Mm-mm, we didn't, and we actually, six of us. We're in the callback together, which was wild.
I heard it was seven.
No, six of us, yeah. There were six of us. Because so, Lindsay and Zach were not in that callback with us. But which we remind them of all the time. You guys are the outsiders.
You guys are the original Buchanan.
Yeah. No, but their presence is what made Buchanan what it is. But
oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Zach Cherry is.
Oh, Jesus. The two of them. All of them. And actually, Lindsay and I were in our first round of auditions together, which was really fun. But yeah. And it's just been, you know, we've gone through the process of figuring out, like, we all were first-time Lloyd team members. We all, you know, worked through what that means and what it looks like. And I think that, like, I think we do really tight Heralds, and I think we have a lot of fun doing it. And, man, it's just, we, like, love each other like family.
That's
and
good.
It's just, I feel like we've all influenced each other. I know I personally have become just a wildly better improviser because I improvise with them, and I also think I've become like a better person because they're my friends, and I deeply love them, all of them. And our coaches have just been, we've had like three kind of, Brennan Lee Mulligan coached us, Alex Dixon coached us, and Sean Casey coached us, and what a lineup there. Like, it's just, you know, it's just been an absolute blast and a joy.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
What was like though? I get that phone call from Nate.
Oh God. I could cry even thinking about it.
Do it. I don't care.
I mean, I might start. So I had a friend over.
Because you've only been in the program now 2 years.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Right.
1 year in.
Yes.
You got into a Lloyd team.
Yeah. It was.
That's amazing.
Thank you. It was absolutely shocking. I was really shocked. I mean, I auditioned with my intention.
I mean, you're great.
Thank you very much. I appreciate. Thank you.
And you were great even back then.
Thank you.
When I first met you a year ago.
Thank you.
A little more than a year ago.
Thanks. Yeah. Probably because I started going to Nerds Jams like right away. So
okay,
maybe a year and a half. Something like that. But yeah, I had a friend over and we were like having like a meeting and this like 720, which is Colorado number, came up on my phone, and I knew, my God, I literally feel like I could throw up talking about this right now. I really do. Like, my butterflies are coming back. I'm like, oh, but the 720 number came up, and I was like, first, like, this has got to be a collector, a bill collector.
Yeah.
Like, what's it? And I, because by the way, I had memorized the training center's like first three digits of all the phone numbers so that I knew what the UC, when I got the UCB call, if I got one, that's what it would be.
That's like scary.
Because I know that I'm not going to answer for some number that I don't know. And so this number calls, and we're in the middle of this meeting, and I was like, oh, forget it. I don't recognize the number. And then there was this moment, and I was like, okay, Lauren, you're waiting for a phone call right now. Like, you should maybe pick up the phone. And so I picked it up. And I was like, hello, and Nate, man, I feel like he spoke slower than I've ever heard anyone speak in my life. He was like, hello.
Hello.
This is Nate Dern calling from the Upright Citizens. And I had just had a class with him. I was like, Nate, I know who you are. What are you calling me for? Right? Like, I was just like, and he was like, from the Upright Citizens Brigade. Calling for Lauren Besser. And my response was, hey, Nate, what's up? It's just like, what's going on? And he and I didn't say, "Hey Nate, what's up?" I was like, "Hey Nate, how are you?" And I think he was next going to say, like, "I'm calling to offer you a spot in Lloyd." Yeah. But he was thrown that I asked him how he was. And he was like, "Oh, I'm doing great, Lauren. How are you?"
Well, because, okay, can you imagine, like, because, like, there's got to be a reason why it has to go so slow.
Yes.
Because, like, I mean, like, what's, wait, like, okay, so, like, I want to analyze this as like, a person taking enough psychology classes and knows enough about the human condition and has cast people and things.
Yeah.
If you're calling them up and it's a big deal thing, like a UCB being placed on a UCB team, you really have goosebumps. I see it.
Yes.
But like you want to make sure that all the information gets there.
Yes.
And yeah, so like he definitely had
some to take kind his time. He absolutely had, like, he was doing what, you know, he needed to do under the circumstances, and he said, you know, "I'd like to offer you a spot on Lloyd," and I was like, "Okay." Yeah, and he was like, "Do you accept?" I was like, "Yes, I do. Thank you very much." And like, I was like, "I hope you have a great, you know, I can be very like, I just am a friendly girl sometimes." And I was like, "Well, I hope you have a really wonderful day, and thank you so much for coming." Like, I kind of like started this, and then I started this. I was like, "It's just Nate. It's just been such a blast. It's just been so much fun, Nate. It's just been really fun." And then I realized like he has other calls to make. And he was like, "Okay, Lauren. Lauren, I mean, you'll be getting an email soon.
You're okay. Besser, not like a Ziegler or something like that."
It was, like, so ridiculous.
You're, like, number two on that list, probably. And he's like, okay.
Gotta go.
If we keep talking, I'm going to take you off.
Exactly.
Seriously.
No, it was like that. And then I called my mom and completely fell apart. And I and could cry now thinking about it. I mean, we both just, like, sat on the phone, like, sobbing for, like, probably 25 minutes while my friend sat outside on this like Skype meeting we were having. And she was like, I think told the person we were Skyping with, like, "I think we've got to go. This is a major moment in Lauren's life." Like, we've got to. Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, my mom and I were like, talked for a while. And I think I called my dad and, you know, I had like that kind of that whole deal. And yeah, I was in shock. I was an absolute, I mean, my intention
that's
going
what happened
in,
to me when I got to the improvised play, I like freaked out. I ran circles around my apartment.
How could you not?
And then start crying. They called my parents. Because I applied for, like, I mean, I've been in advanced study for 3 years at UCB.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just hit, like, 3 years pretty much, like, right now.
Right.
And, like, it took, like, 2.5 years for me to even make a wait list for something.
Oh, God, these classes,
and then,
right?
And then I got... Well, no, it took me, because like, I got waitlisted last year, the year before for improvised play. Mm-hmm. And, like, someone, please fucking drop out.
Yeah, please.
And then I got in improvised play, and then, like, the next one up was the Pelicans, and I, like, applied, and I, like, shit my, like,
double,
like,
double I, like, time.
Like, I literally just shit myself, pretty much. But, like, not as hard as what I shit myself for the improvised. Like, I literally call my parents, like, crying. I mean,
if
I ever get onto anything UCB, like...
Right.
I probably will fly out a window.
It would be easy to do. It would be easy to do.
To fly out a window.
Yes.
Not get, I mean, I think I
call this. No, to fly out the window after finding out, because it's so, it's just, it's a wild, it's just, it's fucking crazy. It feels fucking insane when it happens. It just like, yeah, it really blew me away. Absolutely.
And you guys have been fucking killing it for a year.
We've had so much fun. We've had a lot of
a
fucking
year.
Fun. Yeah. Yeah. Ten months. But yeah.
Okay.
Almost a year.
Breathe. I actually see you, like, I see your body, like, shaking.
Because it's just like, oh, God, we have had a blast. We've had a lot of fun together.
So let's talk about, like, Huns.
Yeah, Huns. Huns is, you know what, it's funny, this is going to come off weird, but, like, I don't have a ton to say about Huns in that... No, it's like... Because I haven't... That's a team... They were a 401 class.
Right.
And then they asked me to come... Like, because I know some of the folks that are in it. So they were like, "Lauren, come play with us." And so I... we don't practice, which is super fun. We just kind of... We have shows. We video the shows. And we sometimes will watch those and kind of see where we can improve. But yeah, it feels like a very low maintenance team commitment, which is really lovely, and I love everybody that's on the team. But yeah, I really only play with them probably, I mean, about once a month. We have a once a month show at 2A.
Are you doing Thursday?
I'm not sure. Who knows?
Force in the Bucket.
Oh yeah, I think that's in the calendar. Yes, yes, sweet, yes. Sweet. Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. Cool. I think that I am. But I also Forms from the right. Yes. And then that's also like when I was when open relationship practices, but yeah. It seems like now like I haven't practiced with open relationship in a really long time because there's just like, you know, shows to do and all that kind of like.
Yeah, you guys are an amazing team.
Open relationship is so much. We were a 201 class and we started as a practice group with like 14 people.
Oh, was there a Gardner one?
It was a Brandon Gardner. It was a Brandon Gardner 201. And man, we just like deeply love each other. And, you know, at first we called ourselves open relationship because it was such a in and out group. Like some people showed up all the time, some people showed up once in a while. And then we got our first show and we were like, oh, we need a name. Like, I guess we'll be open relationship because who knows who's even really on our team. Like, we're just kind of, it's like open door policy, yeah. Kind of like anyone that we really love can be a part of it. And then it got a little, you know, more serious and we, you know,
right.
Now it's kind of like a core eight, that is performing together and kind of practicing together. We have a monthly show at USM, which is really fun.
That's one of my favorite spaces in the city.
Oh, it's such a blast. I actually did a lot of cartwheels last time that I was there, and I'm still healing because I cut my hands up so much.
Oh, God.
And the shirt that I wore, which Sarah Parsons told me was very Amish-looking, and I took that as a dig and a compliment at the same time, has blood all over it from all my cartwheels and my blood pants.
Yeah, take that, Sarah.
Yeah, yes, Sarah.
Fuck you, Sarah Parsons.
Yeah, yes, Sarah Parsons. / I adore you.
No, she's amazing.
Isn't she great? So
She blew my mind during the most recent Five on It, the show Nick Smith does.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
It's really fun. It's kind of like Kaleidoscope, but it's like literally like five people.
That's so great. I love it.
Yeah.
That's so great.
I captained a team last
week. Oh, nice. Great. That's great.
I had a couple people from Fallen Socks. And
yes.
It was great.
Oh, my God. Amazing. Yeah. She's a very funny lady. And, yeah. And, you know, all those folks they're great. Yeah. It's so fun to have really lovely, fun indie teams to, you know,
yeah.
It's like really, it's just like, it's great to like, you know, just have good people surrounding you all the time.
I fully agree with that.
Right?
I can't agree with you more than I am right now.
Right.
I want, like, let's have a Real Housewives of Bohemia, because, like,
sure.
That's awesome.
It's really fun. We have a lot of fun.
Because, like, our first conversation was about podcasting.
Yeah, and that was probably a year before Becca and I even started. Becca Claver is my co-host. She is a well-known feminist poet and PhD student, and I think when I say well-known, she's not well-known for being a PhD student, she's well-known for her books and poetry.
That'd be funny. She's like,
right, yeah.
She's like, I take every PhD in the city, yeah,
exactly.
Bitch.
What now, bitches? Yeah, so she's, and man, we share a best friend. His name is Austin. He comes to a lot of Buchanan shows, a lot of open relationship shows. He's a fan, but he's my best friend from college. He's actually the person that I managed his campaign when we were students, and he won in city council.
Oh, cool.
66% of the vote, outspent 9-1. And his high school best friend is Becca. So Becca and I, and we all live in this in Crown Heights. So
yeah.
Becca and I, when we first moved here around the same time that we both did, we just were like, okay, cool. Let's be friends now. We share a best friend. Like, we'll be friends. And we're both identify as radical feminists. We both like to laugh and giggle. We're both girls that came up in the 90s and like
yeah.
have a lot of pop culture 90s references. So we're both writers, and we just were like, every time we hung out, we were like, we should be recording this. We are breaking boundaries right now. And then we have so much fun with it. And you know, we call it a comedy podcast, but it's a feminist podcast disguised as a comedy podcast. And
it's
kind
of like how mine's a performing arts podcast,
right,
disguised as, but it's really a comedy podcast.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, and we just like, we giggle so much and
yeah.
we laugh so much that we feel like it's comedy. And we've gotten a lot of like really amazing fan mail, which is just blows me away. Yes.
I've had like three pieces like ever in like the 2 years I've been doing this.
Yeah,
so.
I don't, and when I say, like, we don't really know who a lot of these folks are. We do know who some of them are, and it doesn't happen all the time, but there's people that are like messaging us being like, you know, thank you so much for reminding me about why feminism is important, or like, wow, you guys gave me a different perspective on, you know, abortion rights and how that relates to, you know, laws that are coming up in Wichita right now. Like, it's just like, we're kind of blown away by the response that we've had. And it's a lot of it is coming from women and men speaking to the feminist side of things and not to the, I mean, there are some people that have written us, we just had a very giggly episode where we were just really just not talking about anything of any importance. Uh-huh. And so we had some people being like, well, this is the biggest LOL one that we've heard in a long time. But yeah, we just have a blast. We do all of our own sound effects via our mouths. I come up with a different intro beat every time with my mouth, and Becca wrote kind of a poem intro using some words of Miranda Gelais that we saw her speak in a talk.
At BAM?
It wasn't the BAM one. We were there at that BAM talk. It was actually a New Yorker festival a couple years ago. And she's too much. She's so amazing, and we both love her so much. And she said this, someone asked her a question, and she said, well, in the real world with cars and houses and time, and then she did her conversation, and both Becca and I like wrote that down in our notebooks to talk about on the podcast. And so now we have, our intro is, in the real world with cars and houses and time, there live two bohemian housewives. And it kind of like goes into our little story that we were with. That's deep, so Midwestern cool. groups, and we were airlifted and dropped into Crown Heights, Brooklyn. These are their stories. So yeah, we have a blast. We continue to have fun. Cool. And it's friendship first with the Real Housewives of Bohemia.
It kind of has to be.
Has to be, right?
Yeah, yeah. How many episodes have you guys done now?
We are about to do our 20th anniversary episode, which means episode number 20.
Yeah.
We've got
20 years.
we celebrate them like their anniversaries.
Nice.
So
and you do like one a month, right? Or
we are about two a month, one every 2 weeks. Sometimes we're like three a month, four a month. Sometimes we're once a month. We don't really have a schedule. Nobody can anticipate when they're coming.
that was the way the Mark was for the first like 15 episodes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck it. And let's just do Mondays and Thursdays. It was like Mondays and Thursdays. And now it's just Mondays.
That's so smart. I mean, I think I really always want like a schedule for the podcast topic and a schedule for this. And Becca's always like, let's just be real low key about it. And that's actually the way that we need it to be, because our lives are so crazy, and she's writing a, you know, scholarly dissertation on like feminist poetics. And I mean, so like, and you know, as improvisers and workers in the world, we're just crazy people.
Well, I mean, the only reason why, I mean, like, so this way I wouldn't go like weeks without doing an episode or whatever.
Exactly. And so, and Becca and I think because we're also besties, it's almost this like, whereas a lot of my friends, like, I feel like I don't get to see very often because I work at night and they're, you know, off at night. Whereas Becca and I are like, oh, we have this podcast. We have to hang out. So, like, when are we going to, like, we schedule it, and it's almost like, because we have so much fun, it feels like we're scheduling a hangout
day. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that, I think that helps us actually get them done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny because I became obsessed with the Worst Idea of All Time podcast. Have you heard that one?
No.
It's the one where it's two guys from New Zealand that watch Grown Ups 2 every week for a year. And now they just started the second season of Sex and the City 2. And like I listened to all 52 episodes in like a 10-day period.
Wow.
Which is insane. But like they're like, we have to get this done at least like once a week.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can do this.
Exactly.
And like, the movie's rough because I actually decided to watch it. I bought the DVD after finished, because they did a commentary episode.
Becca and I did we're both obsessed with James Franco, and one of our topics is what's new with James, what's going on with James Franco, because we think he's a renegade who's doing a lot of different things.
I was actually talking about yesterday with someone.
And so many people hate him, especially in the poetry community, and so Becca and I, as like an act of rebellion, really love him. And so we live podcast his latest SNL show.
Oh.
So we watched it. And
I enjoyed it.
It was, we enjoyed it too, and we podcast through the whole, we watched it the next day on Hulu, but we podcast through the whole thing, and it's just, we had a lot of fun doing it. It was great.
Great. Nice.
Sorry, that made me think of,
Don't worry. There's no such thing as not a tangent.
Right.
I mean, as long as you follow the script to a small extent.
Right.
I mean, I sent you the script.
Right. I'm sorry, I actually did, we were supposed to talk about Leonardo DiCaprio before James, but okay, that's cool.
Okay, so should we talk about Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah, he's my spirit animal.
Really?
Yeah.
I've always been a fan of his.
I wasn't, and here's what happened. 3 days before my audition, I was sitting at a dinner table with my family on like the Upper East Side at some restaurant somewhere, and he was sitting next to us with his entire crew. And
holy
I was like,
shit.
Wow, that's wild. Like, there's Leo. Like, maybe he's a sign that I'm going to do well in my audition. And then 3 days later, when I was trying to keep my mind off of auditions, I went to all these galleries in Chelsea to just kind of like keep doing something, because I think the audition was that night. And I walked into Gagosian to see the Keith Haring exhibit, and who was fucking goddamn fucking standing there with his whole fucking crew, but fucking Leonardo DiCaprio. And I was like, I'm going into my audition today. He is my spirit guide. Like, oh my God, like he's, holy shit. So then I get the call back, which was mind blowing. And
Leo was on the panel.
No, it was, that would be hysterical. No, and so now I start getting panicked. I got to see Leo. Can somebody tell me where Leo is? Like, what am I going to do if I don't see Leo before my callback? Like, what's going to happen? And of course, this is just like, you know, this like jinx I have in my head that's going to happen if I don't see Leo before whatever. And the day of my callback, I kid you not, I didn't see him in person, but I woke up my eyes. No, I woke up my eyes. I woke up, looked at Instagram, and the first thing was a Refinery29 post, and it was a picture of Leonardo DiCaprio. And I was like, okay, I'll take it. That will be my, that's it. And since then, he's just, you know, he takes like 20 models home from the club. Like, he does not give a fuck. Like, that is my spirit. Like, I'm...
You take 20 models home.
I'm trying to.
Okay,
I'm
cool.
Trying. I don't go to the club and I don't date models, but I am
one
day...
Well, you're always in the hot chicks.
Well, yeah. One day I'm going to try to get it done, yeah.
Nice. That's cool. Wow, I have a lot of respect. More respect for you than I even thought I did an hour ago. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's, now you know my life goals. You know
that's
really
cool.
Where I'm moving towards. Yeah.
God, I'm loving this episode. Let's get ready to wrap up.
Okay, great.
Well,
you don't want to end on me becoming Leonardo DiCaprio?
No, because I find you very attractive, and so do I find him, but like, I'm straight, and...
You're like, shit.
I can't let that get stuck in my mind.
Exactly, no, yeah, okay, sure. And when I say models, I mean men and... Like,
oh, yeah,
all, or women. I'll listen, if I'm going Leo, I'll go anything. But really, we're good. Okay. Good.
I love this show so much. Oh, God. Also, we should put this out there. I'm looking for a big guest for episode 200. That's 10 episodes away from now.
Leo, are
Leo,
you listening?
Or
James?
There's a small campaign going out there, like, that's not started by me. Three friends of mine have like, been like, we should get Adam Sandler. I'm like, if you can make that happen, do it.
Yeah.
I would love to get Danny Tamborelli.
Okay.
Or Mike, oh my God, I forgot his name all of a sudden. Big Pete from P&P. You didn't watch P&P as a kid?
Mm-mm.
What kind of childhood did you have?
A fucking awesome one.
Yeah, but P&P was a shit.
Yeah, well, turns out you cannot watch it and still turn out
no.
Mad dope.
No. We're the same generation. I'm not accepting this.
Wait, why don't you ask my dad, Matt Besser?
Well, okay, let's address this. Because I know everyone comes up to you at first and is like,
are you,
yeah.
You know, what's your last name? Yeah, we are not.
And
actually,
I would love to have your dad, Matt Besser, on my podcast.
Yeah, oh yeah, right, exactly.
But
my dad, are you listening? Actually, my dad is Charles Besser. But yeah, Matt, what a lucky coincidence for me, right? Like, I have Matt Besser's last name. I did at DCM at 3 o'clock in the morning in the party space, go
yeah,
up to him, yeah, real drunk, and told him, excuse me, Mr. Besser, my name is Lauren Besser. I just was put on a Lloyd team, and I am honored to represent our name on the East Coast. What kind of an idiot am I? I don't know. And he was very nice to me. I think because it was so late anyway, like he was probably, you know, having a great time himself.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, okay, like, where are you from? And I was like, Chicago. And he's like, not... That's, or he's like, where's your family from? And I was like, Germany? I don't know what to say. Like, I'm mostly Irish, but the name is German. He was like, no, where'd you grow up? And I was like, oh, Chicago. And then he was like, okay. And then that was it.
That's
it was
so...
a great interaction. I was very proud that I went up to him and like, let him know, here we are. Here we are, friend. We're doing this together now.
I mean, you do come before him on the UCB page right now.
Yeah. I sure do. Thanks, parents, for naming me Lauren and not Nicole.
Or
any other name that's after M.
Stephanie.
Yeah, Stephanie.
Sarah.
Sarah.
Rachel,
any other name. I'm just glad I'm...
Zucchini.
Yeah, exactly. Zucchini is another option. I'm Lauren Besser, no relation to Matt Besser, but I will let people think about that relation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys don't look anything alike.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
But I do have a dream that one day we're going to do two prov and it's going to be called the Bessers. Right?
Like, yeah. By the way, you do a really great Matt Besser impersonation, I should let you know.
Oh, really? Thank you.
Oh, and also Ian Roberts co-wrote Get Hard.
Oh, okay.
I forgot about that. You said, oh, yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, UCB. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Come on.
Okay, so get ready to wrap up.
Okay, here we go.
What's it about Lauren Besser people might not know that you're okay sharing?
Oh, my God. I eat frozen, organic pizza that I make in my own. Like, I live in New York City, where pizza is the greatest in the world, and I eat frozen pizzas, I would say, 5 nights a week, usually after midnight.
You cook them, though, right?
Oh, yeah, I cook them.
Okay.
But, like, that's a staple, in, like, a ridiculous, like, such a daily staple in my life.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that's...
What kind of pizza, like?
Amy's. Usually they're 3 cheese because they have goat cheese, but the 4 cheese is good too when I add goat cheese onto it. Or sometimes they have, I'm a vegetarian, so they have
goat
like,
cheese is your favorite cheese?
I'm a cheese fan in general.
I love cheese too.
I don't know if I could pick a favorite, but I like the goat cheese on the pizza. There's also an Italiano one, which has like fake meat sausage on it, which I like. So there's, you know, usually it's the 3 cheese one.
Right. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Okay.
Awesome. I'll take that.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Okay. So, what about things you're looking forward to that do not involve you? Like movies, TV shows, plays, etc.
Oh, what things am I looking forward to that do not involve me? Oh, like artistic thing. You know what? Honestly, I'm trying to get my dad's turning 65. We're doing like a birthday thing, and I want the whole family to go see TJ and Dave in their new theater because we're all in Chicago. So like, I kind of want to just get everybody there to see this other way of doing improv. They've all pretty much seen me do a Harold, so. Show them a little something different.
Yeah, I feel like you're always like, yeah, my family's in town.
Always.
Yeah.
They're very supportive and lovely. That's awesome. And wonderful and come here a lot for their own reasons.
Train my family to come up here, but like, my mom will travel. My dad has to get a train. Uh-huh. He doesn't fly, so.
Okay. Yeah. That's a long trek then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, what about plugs for you? Twitter, Tumblr, shows, etc.
Twitter, Tumblr, Buchanan's last show before Shakeups is this Wednesday. We're up for 7:30.
That's exciting.
Which is very exciting. Can't wait. And then, I'm on Twitter and Instagram, I think is the same as La Besser, L-A Besser. And, I'm really pumped for Women Inc. to come out.
Is there a date yet for that or?
Not yet. We are shooting in 2 weeks. So, you know, we're still kind of like in that process.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I think that's, I don't know dates for other shows right now, so I don't want to
cool.
like, yeah, but that's
I mean, I'll be plugging one of them for you anyways.
Yeah, okay,
so.
Great, nice. Yeah.
Okay. I guess it's my turn then.
Mark Levy. What are you doing? What are your handles?
Well, yeah. At Mark Levy 85, which has recently become a funny Twitter. I do the best I can, actually, but, you know, getting follows, which is insane. Thanks to Tweet. Thanks to Tweet Madness. I'm mind blown by that. And of course, if you want to email the show, htmpod@gmail.com. Two plugs that I can think of right now. Of course, Forms in a Bucket this week.
Ow.
Thursday night, 11 p.m. at the Treehouse Theater, $1 or a drink. This month, we actually have a really amazing lineup. We have The Huns. Which I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them in a while. We have The Boys, which I think is a debut show for them. I'm not sure, but I know it's got previous guests Sean O'Reilly, Dylan Donahue. Also, it's got like Dan Glazer, Alex Teague. I want to see someone else that I can't think of right now. But that's a really fun team. And Sad Jazz, a team that's mentioned
great. Obviously. Love Sad Jazz.
Great team.
Yeah.
And this Sunday, oh my God, guys, we're less than a week away. Oh, shit. We're like literally less than a week away. The 12-hour long improv set at Treehouse Theater. April 5th, noon till I'd say noon, but it's midnight.
So you're doing like a resurrection Easter sort of like 12 hours of, because that's Easter, so it's like really kind of like a rebirth in a 12-hour set form. Yeah.
I mean, there's me 6 improvisers that have been on stage all the time.
Oh my God.
The whole show, and they might hatch into something.
I believe something's going to happen.
Something's going to happen at the show. I don't know what it is. It might just be me going crazy.
Yeah, sure.
Because I will be in the show and I will be producing it and everything. And
12 hours of fucking.
Yeah. It's only snorgy, guys. Like all improv. Improv's a code word, guys. It's just been a giant code word. Even like when you saw that Broad City episode where they went to the improv team. That's just what you want. Like, it really was just, it was just a really ugly game.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, beautiful people, but it was just a really weird gangbang after Korean theater. But honestly, guys, it really means a lot to me. Guys, come out there. It starts at noon. You can buy tickets anytime. $10, I believe, is all day tickets if you want, or $5 per hour.
Nice.
I'm really excited about it. Yeah
sounds amazing.
Lauren, this has been so good.
Mark, thanks so much for having me. It was just such, it's like such a fun thing to do.
Yeah. And I'll see you guys next time I hit the mark.
Okay, cool.
Bye. Oh, by the way, we might not be here next week just because I don't have, know if I have time to record before next Monday.
Yeah.
And I work next Monday, so I don't know if there will be an episode, but there will definitely be one the week after.
Right.
All right.
Hit